Well, today, as we head into our second portion of the sermons that is entitled Living by Faith Changes the Way We See Things, last week when we were together, I challenged each and every one of you to use sober judgment upon yourselves and upon the world around you and what is happening, to be renewed in your minds, and to understand that Jesus himself, who was God, did not think it equality with God was something to be grasped. We need to understand God resides in us, but we are not God. Amen? Amen. However, in our world, as we were taught last week, when we think about how people reflect and what they think upon, most people see themselves as God because it's all about me, right? It's all about me. And that's where we all were at one point in time. So today we're going to move out of the me and we're going to begin to look at this word that God has given us. I'm going to remind everybody, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans because we're still there, Romans chapter 12. I'm going to remind us of the scriptures. We're going to be rereading verses 12, 1 through 21. And then we're going to reread Philippians 2 through 3, 3 through 8. Because these scriptures are still the scriptures that we're teaching on. Nothing has changed. And we need to understand that God has a word for us, and that word will change us forever. That we may see things, that we may react to things different, that we will rationalize things different. Not that our vision will be changed from the vision of sight, but from the vision of mind and conscience and spirit. From chapter 12. Verses 1 through 21, we read these words. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Now last week when we were done, I had gone through verses 1 through 3. Today, I'm going to pick up on verse 4, and we're going to move forward because I needed to set the stage. I needed us to get the foundation that we have got to think with sober judgment, that as we worship, as we live our lives, and as we are having our being out there in the world, as we submit ourselves to God, that is our spiritual act of worship, which doesn't just happen in church, but it happens in life. Okay? Do you realize that as you submit yourself to God, every day you are worshiping God in the way that you live? How you live is as worship to God. When you and I look at our minds and we try to get renewed in our minds, that's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? It's a very difficult thing to do. I'm 57 years old. I don't want to be retrained. Okay, that's why I went through elementary school and middle school and senior high, and then I went to college in my later life, and I was retrained again, and I'm 57, and I'm done. I know it all. Thanks, Ruth. She just told me. No, I don't. That's my sis. But she's right. I don't. I still have a lot to learn. And God is going to allow things to come into my life to help me get into a position where I can be taught humbly and submissively to understand His will. That's just part of that seeing, okay? And that's why we're to think upon ourselves with sober judgment. That is, it isn't all about you. Because this stuff is coming your way does not mean you did something to deserve it. We live in a broken world. But Jesus Christ came to give healing to those who would receive it, to give hope to those who would accept it, to give the promise of life after this curse, because the curse for us ends the day we depart from this place. And then we are in glory, for we will be with Him, we'll come back and we'll reign with Him for 1,000 years, and then eternity starts. And guess what? None of us knows what that looks like because He speaks very little of it. But it will be wholly different before we will all be holy at that time. For we will be, Scripture is very clear. It says, we will be like Him. Wow. To be completely, no sin, none whatsoever, incapable of sin. I can't imagine that. But God says we're supposed to try to do that now. And here is how we are to do that. When we start to look at faith, living by faith, it will change the way we see things. How many of you have gifts? How many of you have gifts from the Holy Spirit? Everybody's hand should go in the air because you all do. The Holy Spirit has given us all gifts. Some of us may think we have one. Some of us may think we have 10. I know I did a spiritual assessment one time, and you know, the spiritual assessment was like, I don't know, 64 different gifts. And I scored like a 52, okay? And I had to laugh because we had one brother, and, you know, I'll told you about this. Brother Stan, won't say his last name, don't want to embarrass him. He scored a positive on everyone, even celibacy, and he had 3 kids. Don't know how that works, but that's okay. The reality is those gifts are given. I want us to look at what it says here. Before we get to the gifts, I need to go back and tell you why those gifts are given, which is verses 4 through 5. For it says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. What does that mean? What does that mean? And I'm sorry, Pete, I went through that so fast, you probably couldn't even get it up in time. When we look at that scripture, what that's telling you is you have gifts, but they don't belong to just you. You've been given the gift to use towards everyone else. Okay? Guess where you get to practice that? In the church. But is that the only place that you're supposed to use it? Absolutely not. You see, this is where you learn to use your gift. Remember what I told you? We're all a bunch of stones thrown into the tumbler of church, and God tumbles us all around and knocks the rough edges off so we come out these polished gems on the other side. Well, those gems are what God wants to take out into the world so that the goodness, the richness of Christ can be seen. So he says here from verses 6, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, okay, each of us has different gifts. Each of us is to exercise them, what? What's that word? Accordingly. In other words, don't be selfish with it. Don't be stingy with it. Okay? I can remember being a little boy growing up, and I would go down to my grandma and grandpa's house. Grandma and Grandpa Sigmund, my mom's parents. And we would walk in there, and Grandpa Sigmund sat at the head of the table, and the butter was always in front of Grandpa Sigmund. Okay? There was a reason for that. If you wanted a piece of bread with butter on it, Grandpa Sigmund put the butter on it. And I'm telling you right now, he could slice that butter so thin, it was thinner than a Bible page. That stick of butter went far, okay? He was a stingy Dutchman. But when Grandpa put butter on his bread, you could barely see the bread for the butter. And we're not supposed to be like that. We are to use our gifts accordingly to the measure of the faith which God has given you. And I'm going to tell you all this right now. When God first gives us faith, it's about this big, isn't it? But as we grow in Him, that little bit of faith continues to grow. It really doesn't grow. We grow in it because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He can't get any smaller or any bigger. He just is. It's us who change. And as God changes you, as you are here in the tumbler, getting tumbled, you get to exercise those gifts. And then you are to take them out. And it's so amazing because what does He say to us? He says to us, if it is prophesying according to the portion of His faith. Again, reiterating what I'm saying. So when you start, it's going to be small. Okay? It's going to be little. And then you're going to move out. If it is service, in His service. Or he who teaches, in His teaching. Okay? Some of us may start in the teaching that we take the little kids because that's easy. But God wants us to grow to become the adult teachers where we are taking that word out into our community, into our lives, that every day of our life, we are literally exampling Christ before our brothers and sisters out there who are in our work world. You know, it has been said to me that you know, Christians should never be without the Bible. I have one in my truck. I have one in my backpack when I go hunting. Who am I going to preach to out there? The deer? I'll guarantee you there's one in my backpack. I don't like to go anywhere without the Word because I have nothing to offer anyone. But I know who does. And I need to take that out. The gifts that you have, you need to take them out. Get them out of the box that God has given them to you in, which is this frame, and begin to use them openly and wantingly. Use them unashamedly. Use them to the full measure of faith which God has given you. If it's service, serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's giving, you know, if it's exhorting, if it's, you know, whatever it may be, you need to use it, starting here, but then taking it out into the church. And it doesn't matter, that person can hate your guts. You need to love them. God never said you had to like them. I want you to think about that. Show me one place in Scripture where Jesus says you have to like everybody. But we are told to love them, aren't we? Because I hate to tell you all this, but you were unlovable at one or unlikable at one time too. Okay, we're always lovable, all right? God can love us all. In fact, I hate to say this, but right now, if we're all going to be honest with ourselves, there are times in our lives that God just doesn't like what we do, isn't that true? There are times that God just doesn't like me right now, but He never stops loving me. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't mean He likes you all the time. You know, my parents loved me, but they spanked me. Do you think they were liking me when they were spanking me? Love disciplines. Love is real. Love draws us to a place of walking rightly, Okay? And that's where we need to be in our lives, is helping to draw others, thinking with sober judgment. Okay? These people are out there doing what they're doing because they're messed up. We were there too. I mean, how many of us came into this world perfect? How many of us came into church perfect? How many of us are perfect now? How many of us will be perfect in the end? Every hand goes up, right? But that's not because of something we did, but because of something the cross has done for us. Something that the Lord Jesus has done for us. When we understand that we are to do this in diligence, that we are to do, you know, I love what it says here. If it is, he who gives liberally, okay? You know, I love it when people give and then they put strings on it. Did you ever notice that? People will give and then, but there's an attachment. Right? There's an attachment. And we are not supposed to do that. When you give to somebody, don't expect to get anything back. Amen. Give it away. Jesus gave his life away. He expects nothing back. When we act in that same way, that's sober judgment. That's with a renewed mind. Because this world says, wait a minute. If I gave 10 bucks, I ought to have a say in what happens to that million-dollar project. Really? If you gave $1 million to $1 million project, you should keep your mouth shut because you gave it. Do you understand the concept? See, and that's the place where we've got to get outside of this mind, have this mind renewed, where we can see beyond self to the heart of Christ Jesus. Remember, he has written the law of love in our hearts. How does he do that? The Holy Spirit is in us. He is there. He is the law of love. We know what's right. We're constantly fighting against this flesh. But we have to remember. We have to remember whose we are. And who we are. Because as we remember those things and we allow God to have that right in our lives that we've surrendered to him, because all we did was bring death into ourselves, God can turn that around and use us not only to bring life into ourselves, but to bring life to others. Our world is so hurting right now. Look at the chaos that's happening out there. How many of us are putting up walls and saying, I ain't talking to those people. They're a bunch of communist socialists, blah, 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 blah. And we can just throw out all kinds of adjectives, can't we? But what we have to say is, they're my brothers and sisters who are deceived as I once was. Now, some are going to argue that, you know, hey, there are some out there who aren't elect and they're never going to come. But do you know who they are? If you don't know who they are, you better be sharing the light of Jesus Christ with every person you meet. Because if you don't, you've just declared yourself God, judge and jury. And remember, it says, with the measure you judge, so shall you be judged. I don't want that judgment. Wow, that's harsh. I mean, I've talked about the one guy I worked with, his name was Mark. God love him. He became a Christian, and I got pissed at God. That's truth, Miss Gloria. She's like, oh, my Lord. Yes. I was, how dare you? You gave him the same thing you gave. Man, the Lord had to slap me upside the head a couple of times, and he did, and I'm glad, because now I have a brother in heaven, and a man that I hated I now love, and it is a glorious thing, because we got to get out of the way, or God can't use us. There are people out there that are at the bottom that God wants to put to the top? Are you willing to be part of the ladder to get them out? You know, there's a story of a donkey fell into a pit. This guy hated the donkey because it was constantly getting into trouble. Every time he turned around, this thing was causing problems with the neighbors, knocking down fences, eating people's pies in the windows, you know, just all kinds of stuff going on. So this donkey falls in a pit, and he looks at the donkey, and he says, "Good." So every day he would get his trash, and he'd take it out, and he'd throw it on top of the donkey. "I'm going to bury that sucker." Every day he's throwing out, and the donkey's in the pit. Eeyah, eeyah, day after day after, and he's just throwing the garbage on this thing and throwing the garbage on this thing until one day the frickin' donkey comes up out of the pit. He was like, "What in the world?" And the skies opened up and said, "Hey, you kept giving him stuff to stomp down and climb up on. He's out of here now." You see, you and I have to remember, there are people who are that donkey in the pit, and life is going to continue to throw stuff on them, and they're going to get buried. But my question to you is this: are you going to be on that donkey's side and tell him, "Stomp it down and rise up. Stomp it down and rise up"? Because when the stuff of life comes at you, that's what you do. You stomp it down and stand on it. Stomp it down and stand on it. And you and I, we can't take this stuff away, can we? We can't take the stuff of life away. But we can help others understand that Jesus came here to give us the authority over it. So we can stomp it down in the name of Jesus Christ and stand on it. That's why we were standing on the promises for the first song today. If we're standing on the promises, there ain't nothing standing on us. But we have to come under the Word in order for that to happen. We have to understand God wants us to see who we are and whose we are. He wants us to use the gifts that we have to get us in line so that we can bring stuff to the people of our world. And that means we need to get rid of our prejudices towards race, sex, color, whatever may be out there. Because I'll tell you right now, being messed up is messed up. Do you think God can't fix everything? I know He can. I'm living proof. If He could fix me, He can fix anybody. And that's a reality that we need to remember. And guess what, people? He wants to use the broken you to help fix those people. He wants to use you in all of your brokenness and everything that's wrong with you to shine the light of Christ, the hope of Christ in them. Because that's what He's doing with you. He sees in you, remember, were all those rocks in the tumbler? He sees all those rough edges. You know, do you think a diamond looks that pretty when they bring it up out of the ground? I was going to bring one of my sapphires. I have a sapphire at home that's about this big. Okay? Beautiful blue sapphire, right? Out of North Carolina. Russell and I dug it out of the ground. Beautiful, beautiful sapphire. Looks ugly as sin. It's beautiful blue. I mean, it's got almost as blue as that chair, all right? But it's got all kinds of gnarly stuff hanging on it. It's got mica growing out the side of it, and it's got some matrix on it, and it's just like ugly. In that form, what would you give me for it? You know, maybe a couple bucks. Yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, if I take that to the jeweler and cut it, it's going to be worth well over $300. Am I going to cut it? Nope. It's worth more to me in that rough state than it is in its finished state. Do you know why? Because it reminds me of where I am and who I am and where God wants to get me to be. I love rocks. Because they remind me of me. Hard, hard, hard. But God can take that hardness and turn it into something beautiful and of great worth. Because number one, we need to remember, the Holy Spirit is going to soften our hearts, but he wants us to be hard in resolve, that we know who we are and whose we are, and that we will not be shaken, all right? We need to remember that we are being built upon the rock of Christ, and we ourselves are living stones. And in that reality, you have to have the resolve that you will weather all the things that life has to bring against you. You and I have a choice to make here today. Whether we are going to walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ daily, remembering who we are with sober judgment, being renewed. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to be renewed in your mind in some things every day, and sometimes more than once. Because how many of us like it when we do something nice for somebody and then they just completely blow it off and use us, right? That's not fun, is it? I'm never going to do that again. And God looks at us and says, "Wanna bet?" Because he is going to keep bringing that thing around until we are so broken in Christ that we have nothing to do but give. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He never stopped giving. He never stopped giving. Now, that does not mean Jesus ever enabled anybody. He always confronted with the truth. The only reason you're following after me is because your stomachs were being filled. Right? Isn't that what he said to the 4,000? It's the only reason you're coming after me. Rebuke is a very real thing. We need to teach with what we're doing. People need to take responsibility around us. If they are going to climb up out of the pit that they're in, they have got to learn to stomp this stuff down rather than living off of it. They have to begin to live above it. And that's where you and I step in, because we know how to get above it through the grace and mercies of God. So that means when you start, and this happened, okay, I'm telling stories on the guys at camp, okay? They don't realize, but they're just sermon fodder for me. We were talking and a discussion erupted and you know, talking about this one individual for a little while, and it was not good, how this person was bad, blah, 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 blah. And I said to him after we were done, I said, "Now, we just trashed this person for 20 minutes, so what are we going to do for the next 20 minutes? I said, "For the next 20 minutes, we're going to pray about this brother, and we need to really change ourselves." "Well, but," I said, "well, wait a minute. I just preached a whole sermon on Sunday about this very thing, and the guys that were up there, didn't I? You know, and it was so funny because you could have heard a pin drop when Pastor was saying this, because they thought I was torqued. And the reality was, it was a teaching moment for my man. Because we so easily fall back into the trap of this world to bash one another and to beat one another down and to throw more garbage on it, to finally try to bury that person. But it's only when we realize that what's coming at us is the way to get out that you stomp it down and climb a little higher. We need to stomp it down and climb a little higher every day. And it was so amazing because afterwards, the whole demeanor of the men changed, okay? That was Monday, day one. We have what we call the Pink Pacifier Award. It's legitimately a pink pacifier with a camo button on the end of it, okay? At the end of our time together, we all sit down and we vote on who the most whiny, thank you. I was thinking something else, but that's better, Miss Amy. Who was the most whiny? Who complained the most? You know, what have you. But it was so amazing because after Monday's pastoral tirade, tongue lashing, whatever you want to call it, and I even talked to the brother who brought it up. I said, "Thank you for letting me use you." I said, "I meant nothing harsh against you," because we all do it. I said, "You just happened to be the one that I wanted to end it with." But at the end of the week, I literally, "Guys, who has the pink pacifier?" "Oh no, somebody has it. Who has it?" "Pastor has it. It's mine for 1 year." I'm holding it. Because my tirade was meant to draw them close, and it did. The entire rest of the event was lovely. You had to be there. Every time Charles would say something, oh, that's lovely. The eggs are lovely today, Pastor. It was great. But we have to choose every day, every moment, with every word that comes out of our mouth, whether or not we are going to use the gifts that we are given to lift people up, or whether we're going to shove them down and ignore what God has purposed for our lives. You have a gift to get somebody out of the pit. Use those gifts wisely. Use them with sober judgment. Because remember, you didn't deserve any of the gifts that were used towards you. Use them in having your mind renewed. And use them as your spiritual act of worship. Because when you use them to their fullest capability, God is actually pleased by you. And His glory shines all around you. Now, I told you that this sermon was going to be a two-part sermon. But because Pastor Brito's here today, I am not running over. Okay? So I am going to end with that. And I'm going to bring the last section the next time. Because I want him to have time, and I want to hear what he has to say too. And I want to be here with him. You know, we don't get Pastor Brito often. And it's a joy. And his family, his wife and children are here. That is a good thing. So today, we're going to end with the thought that you need to use your gifts. Take them out into the world. Raise somebody up. Because in doing so, you yourself will be changed. That there's no situation that you can't go into and not love the people that are there. You may not like them, but you can love them. Because Christ has loved us who are the unlovable. Isn't that what it says? You know, while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for the love, the grace, the mercy that you have given unto each and every one of us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to use the gifts that you have given us, that we may see ourselves for who we really are and how you want us to apportion those gifts, not just in the church, but out into the world to bring forth your grace, your mercy, your love to a world that is hurting, that is being covered in garbage, to help them understand that they too can stomp it down and climb higher until they reach the gates of heaven themselves. So, Father, use us to that glory of your own purpose and help us to truly be men and women who see things the way they truly are. Broken. But we, Lord God, know the way, the truth, and the life that can fix it and fix it all. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.